Hitherto, have the Lord helped us. And you know, when the Ebenezer was raised, it not only reflects the past, but there's a look into the future. Hitherto, the Lord's helped us thus far. And I believe, founded on the scriptures, in light of the character of God, that he will continue to help us. And we look to the Lord for further help. Those words from Psalm 115, the Lord hath been mindful of us, he will bless us still. And may that be so for us, we believe it to be so. Let's so focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Particularly wanted to bring that text to you this morning at the end of the year, to so focus on Christ. He is the object. Let him be the object again in the coming year. And my prayer for you as a congregation is not only in your own lives, but in the life of the church, we would know more of Christ, the King and the Head, the blessed Shepherd who gently leads us, and the Friend that sticketh closer than a brother. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord bless us together. Just a reminder, we look forward to the ministry of the Reverend Malcolm Watts on Friday in the time of prayer. It's a good way to begin the year, isn't it, with the joint prayer meeting, others coming from local congregations. Let's pray the Lord would bless that time and the fellowship afterwards as well. Do pray for Debbie, Annette's neighbour. Let's pray for her at this time and her need. And also pray for the family of the late Mrs. Rivers. Me and Sharon, John and Emma, would know Mr. and Mrs. Rivers from a few years ago. They used to come here occasionally and visit other places. They worshipped in New Milton. As a boy, I used to remember him. He was a man that was so concerned about the Jews. Well, I believe it's 11 years ago, when he was 95, he was buried in our graveyard. And his wife, Mrs. Rivers, was of the same age. She outlived Mr. Rivers by something like 13 years, little less, 11 years. And I believe, I haven't got the details, she was 106 or 107 or 107. Well, in the next couple of weeks, there's a service down at New Milton, but I will be doing the committal here in the graveyard. Do pray for that family. The daughter passed away a couple of years ago, and the granddaughter contacted me because she didn't know Mrs. Rivers. She wanted to know, and I was able to share a little bit of the gospel. But do pray for the granddaughter and the grandson and the family at this time. Happy memories of Mr. and Mrs. Rivers. And they were a couple that so reminded me of the importance of praying for the Jews. And he gave me many Hebrew scriptures to give to people, numbers still in my study. Well, let's turn then one more time this year to Revelation chapter 4. You'll find my text in verse 10 and verse 11. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Dear congregation, in Psalm 72, verse 17, we read these precious words concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Men and women all over the world, boys and girls, have been blessed through him thus far, the Son of God. They in turn have been found praising him. And those who have been blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who will yet be blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ, will be found praising him throughout all eternity in the heavenly world. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is having the glory, and he will have the glory. At the end of that psalm, Psalm 72, we read, Blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. That's the prayer, and we know that that prayer will be fulfilled, for the earth shall be full of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. He's having the glory, he will have the glory here upon earth, and he will have the glory forever and ever in the heavenly world. Now here in the fourth chapter, there was much by way of adoration and praise offered to God Almighty. And as we come to this chapter, rightly we consider our God, our triune God, our God who sits upon the throne, and worship is offered unto him. Having said this, in light of chapter 5, there is also reference of worship offered to the Lamb, God the Son, and there's the particular focus on him, chapter 5 and verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. So if you bring the two chapters together, we consider the Lord on the throne. He's receiving the glory. But we also consider, particularly in chapter 5, the Lamb, God the Son, and he is receiving the glory. And rightly so. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And as we consider what he has done for us here upon earth, and that he went all the way to the cross, do not we join in tonight, at the end of this year, and say, Worthy is the Lamb. We thought this morning, for to me to live is Christ. He is the source. And we consider there what he did for us here upon earth, and the life he has given. He's also the object. And in considering him as the object, as we look unto him, are we not found saying tonight, at the end of this year, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. The next Lord's Day evening, we have the opportunity to come around the table again, to focus on Christ, and consider what he did for us all those years ago, and are we not found saying at the table, Worthy is the Lamb. So there is praise offered. There is adoration, praise. And we also see here in the fourth chapter, there is humble submission unto him. Just notice verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him. There is humble submission. And we note that the worshippers cast their crowns before him. Just briefly consider the worshippers. Now in verse 8, we read this. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. We read of the beasts, living creatures, that which was created. Now with this in mind, turn back to Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 2. We have similar words, and we think they're the seraphim. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, we'll read verse 2 as well. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one of them had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The seraphims there give service unto the Lord. So do the living creatures, here in the authorized version known as the beasts, the living creatures. We can think of angels, heavenly servants, giving service and praise to the Lord. God's messengers, but then further, God's servants, which many believe are represented here. So we have those in heaven, angels, servants, messengers, giving praise. And then we come to the 24 elders in verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before that sat on the throne. We have elders in Israel. We can think of that. We have elders in the church, 1 Timothy 3. And so some focus on spiritual leaders, again, the elders. But do they not represent as a whole God's people? We think of the Old Testament and we think of the New Testament. We're bringing this all together. There are worshippers giving glory unto the Lord. And we who love the Lord, are we not found giving glory to him? We've already done that in song tonight. And when we get to glory, to heaven and then the heavenly world, what will we be doing? We'll be falling down before the Lord, giving him the glory. And we too will be casting our crowns before him. For as we will see, crowns are given to those that love the Saviour. With no further introduction, I'd like us to consider, first of all, tonight, worship. Secondly, submission. And then thirdly, as we think of the crowns being cast down or laid down, humble gratitude. Worship, submission, humble gratitude. First of all, worship. Verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him, that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Here's the worshippers. They come and they worship him. They fall down, they come humbly. They're submitting to him, as we will consider in a moment. They will cast their crowns before him. In humble gratitude, they're worshipping him. And we read that, don't we? The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. They worship him. We're given a little insight, aren't we, into heaven. But is it not true we upon earth are found worshipping him? And at the end of this year, what a blessing to be found worshipping the Lord, giving him the glory, and him alone. Now God alone is to be worshipped in a religious way. Remember how the devil came to our Lord in Matthew chapter 4? We read this in Matthew chapter 4 verse 8. The devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. He shows the Lord. And he begins to reason with the Lord. All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. What blasphemy! What did the Lord say? Thus saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve. The Lord alone, in a religious way, is to be worshipped. Back in the Old Testament, Exodus 34, verse 14, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. No one else but the Lord. And what a blessing. We've been brought to the right door. And we're found worshipping the true and the living God. We do not bow down to idols, nor are we to worship them. One is not to worship departed saints as Rome does, or angels. No, God alone. And we see that here, do we not? Verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. It's wrong to worship anyone else in a religious way. God alone is to be worshipped. And he will have all the glory in heaven and in the heavenly world. But let's just pause and consider the one we worship. First of all, he is the eternal one. He is the eternal one. Come with me to verse 8. And he rests not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And are we not reminded there that he is the eternal one? Psalm 90, verse 1 and 2. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, forever thou hast formed the earth, and the world even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. From everlasting to everlasting. The Lord is so kind to us there. He gives us those words to help us to begin to understand his eternity. From everlasting to everlasting. In Isaiah 57 verse 15 we read, For thus saith the High and Lofty One, that inhabiteth eternity. He inhabits eternity now. What a great God he is. We can't really begin to understand it, can we? He inhabits eternity now. What a God we come to, and what a God we will worship throughout all eternity. He dwells in eternity at this very moment. He was always there. He inhabits eternity. And as we think of this, therefore he never changes. And what a comfort that is when we think of our blessed Saviour. Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, and today, and forever. What do we read in verse 8? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. The Lord Jesus never changes. And we've proved that, have we not, in this past year? He's been that faithful shepherd. He's been that friend that never forsakes. He's been that redeemer to support us and deliver us. He has not changed. And at the end of this year, what a prospect to know as we go into this new year, he will not change. He'll always be that close friend, that loving Saviour, the one you can depend on, the Saviour you can trust. Oh, consider the Lord. He never changes because he is the eternal one. And then consider secondly the one we worship and the one that will be worshipped and the one we see worshipped here. He is the infinitely holy one. Verse 8. They rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy. How amazing that we have fellowship with such a God. And when we get to heaven and when we are in the heavenly world, when heaven and earth will be one, Revelation 21, we will be so taken with the holiness of God, but at the same time, the happiness of God. We can't really grasp it, can we? But how amazing we can have fellowship with this God, and we will have fellowship and we'll be able to worship such an infinitely holy God. Why? Because of the precious blood of Jesus. He's infinitely holy, sacred, pure, the very opposite of sin. That's the one we worship now. That's the one we will worship in heaven. Thirdly, he is the gracious God. We will see that in a little moment as we come to the end of verse 10. For they cast their crowns before the throne. And in doing so, they are recognizing it's all of grace. We don't deserve it, Lord. We don't deserve the joy, the happiness, the life we're enjoying, as we will consider in a moment. It's all of grace. They cast their crowns down in recognition of the grace of God. Such a gracious God is worshipped. Ezekiel 34, verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Merciful and gracious. The gracious God we worship. We don't deserve him. We don't deserve to worship him. But he admits us. He's so kind, isn't he? Our God. The grace of our God. And we will be taken back in heaven at the grace of God. Fourthly, he's a loving God. 1 John 4 verse 8, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. God is love, and we know that to be the case. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Oh, love was displayed in the coming of the Son. Love was displayed at Calvary. Greater love had no man than this. Oh, we see of the love of God. We know it to be true. And we've tasted, haven't we? He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Fifthly, he's a merciful God. We already thought of that in Exodus 34, verse 6. The Lord God, merciful and gracious. The Lord passed by Moses, and grace was known, mercy was known, but a merciful God. And as we look back at this past year, mercy we have needed, mercy from the hand of God has been provided. And we will worship God in view of his mercy. Consider, he is our triune God, the true God. In verse 13 of chapter 5, we read this, rather verse 12, worthy is the Lamb. We not only think of the Father, but we think of the Son. And we think also of the Holy Spirit. And we worship our triune God. Remember the benediction, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Reference to the Trinity. And in the Old Testament, the Jews knew it but didn't really understand it. There was a difference in Numbers 6, where there's a reference to the Trinity. The Lord bless thee. Reference to the Father and keep thee. Then a reference to the Son, the Lord make his face shine upon thee. And we think there of grace and be gracious unto thee, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And what peace we have known applied through the Holy Spirit. And so worship is given to our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who is God. And that's plain in Acts 5, verse 3, and through to verse 5. Oh, what a God is worshipped and will be worshipped. Now we read in verse 11, thou art worthy. And we who love the Lord, we don't need to wait to heaven to say that, do we? We can join in with those in heaven tonight and saying, thou art worthy. We have the word worthy. Literally, it speaks of having weight, a weighing, deserving the sense. as drawing praise to such a weight to God. He's so deserving, worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou art worthy. A little window into heaven. A little window here into the eternal state. But is it not true now? We say to him, Thou art worthy. We look back at this past year. And what do we say without any hesitation? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now come over to chapter 5 and verse 12. Here the focus particularly on the Lamb, the Son of God, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. Just go back to verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy! What we will say in heaven. But again, we don't need to wait to heaven. We say it again tonight. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And what a blessing at the end of this year to look back to Calvary. And then to look up to Christ and say, Worthy. He's worthy, isn't he? Worthy. He died for us. And he's worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. We ascribe unto him the power. Psalm 89, verse 19. The help we needed was laid on one that was mighty. His name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. There's the cross reference to Psalm 89, verse 19. The help we needed was laid on one that was mighty. The Lord Jesus Christ, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. Riches. Oh, what riches. What treasure we find in Christ, our Redeemer. Wisdom. Oh, the wisdom of the Son of God. Is this not seen in the unfolding of providence? All things work together for good. The wisdom of God. There are the dark and the mysterious things. We admire the wisdom of God. It wouldn't be our way, would it? We couldn't rest if it was our way. But we can lean on him whose wisdom is infinite. So wise. Through the times of darkness as well as light. We give him. We ascribe him. Unto him the wisdom. He's the counsellor. One may go to a counsellor to counsel. We go on to Christ, and do not we admire his wisdom, his skill, how he guides us. The strength, the honour, the glory, the blessing. He's so worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Verse 11. He deserves the praise. He draws the praise. And is it not true when we're found looking at him and we admire what he has done? We consider Calvary. We're found praising him. He draws the praise because he is weighty. Not us, not me. Remember what Jacob said before meeting Esau unto the Lord? Genesis 32, verse 10, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Jacob, he thought himself not worthy, and we say the same. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies. Think of the mercies which are seen as small to some. The night's sleep you get, that's a mercy. The food on the table, we need it, and there it is. But then we think of greater mercies, if we can put it like that, what mercy shown to us in the gospel. And in times of difficulty, we're not worthy, are we, of the least of all his mercies? New every morning are thy mercies, great is thy faithfulness every day, but not one of those mercies we deserve, we say. And then what did Jacob say? I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth. And we particularly focus there on the promises. And you think of the promises, the promise of eternal life. We're not worthy to receive such a promise. And then you consider the promise that the Lord will be with us. In the valley, we don't deserve such a promise, do we? But we're so thankful for it. The promises that he will hold our right hand, that he will help us and strengthen us. We're so thankful for the promises, but we're not worthy of them, are we? We're not worthy, Lord, of such promises. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies. We're not worthy, are we? But he is worthy. Turn from yourself unto God and unto the Lamb. He deserves the praise. He draws the praise. Consider your Redeemer. Consider your Saviour. Worthy is the Lamb. Unto him who hath loved us and washed us from our sin, unto him be the glory forever. Amen. Consider how he has saved you, how he has helped you when you have been low, how he has delivered you when you were in distress, how he supported you in affliction, led you through the valley, comforted you when you were in sorrow. He's never deserted you. Worthy is the Lamb. He reigns over the church. He defends us. Worthy. He is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. He draws the praise. We must move on very quickly and we'll draw to a close now. Time is gone. Secondly, submission. Submission. Just notice verse 10. The 420 elders fall down before him. They fall down before the sovereign. Here is great respect shown. The king may come. We live now in the day of King Charles III. Most of us have lived many years in the reign of Queen Elizabeth, but now she has passed away. Well, the king comes. What does one do? They show respect. The ladies curtsy and the men bow. Respect is shown. A young man may go down on his knee out of respect for a young lady. And he asks her to marry him. It's respect, isn't it? Over 30 years ago I did that. On the other side of the forest, we went there the other day, near a river. Well, here the worshippers, they approach the Lord in a most respectful way and in a humble manner. They fall down in respect, but also in submission. The 420 elders fall down before him. They say, worthy art the Lamb, they come, worthy rather, O Lord, and they give worship. But you see, they come humbly, and they show their respect, and they submit to him. Have you humbled yourself before the Lord in that initial way? Grace makes one humble. Those proud mountains, humbled by grace. So that the Saviour comes, as we see in the Gospel. Have you been humbled by grace? Have you submitted to him? Have you bowed the knee spiritually? Are you showing great respect to God? Philippians 2, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. We think at the end of the year, what are people doing tonight? I tell you what people should be doing. Everyone in the world should be doing. Bowing the knee to Jesus. Bowing the knee, submitting to him. Listening to him. Are you submitting to him? We who love the Lord, how we need to carry on submitting to him. What does he say? Learn of me. Are you listening? Are you listening to the Lord Jesus? There's so much to learn, so much for our good. We need his teaching. Are you listening? Are you following him? Have you said, I believe, and thou art the Lord of my life? Hear the worshippers, they fall down before the Lord. As believers, we recognize that he is Lord. And so we say often, show me thy ways. Submission. In the Old Testament, certain ones out of the tribes came to Joshua, and they said this, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Joshua 1, verse 16. All that thou commandest, we will do, whithersoever thou sendest, we will go. Submitting to Joshua. And you know, Joshua speaks of the Saviour, the Deliverer. And we're led to consider the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to him. All that thou commandest, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest, we will go. The end of the year, we look back, we fall down before the Lord, and we submit to him. And as we look to a new year, we fall down before the Lord as we worship him, and we submit to him. All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. And what a blessing it is at the end of this year to fall down before him in a spiritual way. In full submission. That's what they're doing in heaven. They submit to him. They bow down before him. It's what we're to do. It's what we're to do as individuals. It's what we're to do as a church here. And all the churches here upon earth. Submit to him. Fall down and worship him. And how important that is in affliction. We're to submit to him. And then worship him. Well, we'll close now. Thirdly, humble gratitude. Humble gratitude. Verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, humble gratitude. They cast their crowns before the throne. They cast, or it could be put, they put. They lay them down, that is their crowns, before the Lord. Now, just before we look at that as we close, let's just consider the crowns here. The New Testament speaks of crowns being given to the Lord's people. Turn with me, first of all, to 1 Peter 5, verse 7. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now the Apostle Paul, first of all, is addressing the faithful elders and encourages them to look for the return of the chief shepherd and the crown of glory that he will graciously give on that day. The faithful shepherds, they labored not for ill-gotten or base gain, filthy lucre, but they served the Lord faithfully, and one day they will know a gracious reward. Now, it's an encouragement there to God's servants, but also to all the people of God. For when the Lord returns, he will give a crown to all his people. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance. We think of crowns there. A crown of glory. It speaks of the glory. A crown of righteousness. And are we not led there to consider perfection and holiness? And it's rightly given because of Christ. We think of crowns. In Revelation 2 verse 10, there was a crown of life after death. Olive wreaths, crowns were given to the winners of the Olympic Games. They were originally made from a branch of the olive tree growing in Olympia, a place in Greece where the Olympics were held. And a crown was given to those who finished the race, to the winner. With the end of life, there will be a crown of life, Revelation 2, verse 10. We've already read of that great day when a crown of glory and a crown of righteousness will be given. We think of crowns being given. What a glorious crown. The Lord's people will have a righteous crown. What perfection, not only in our soul, but also in our reunited body. On that great day, a crown of righteousness. There is the glory of the body. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 43. What a crown. Well, we could go on, but we haven't got time. The crowns, the crown of life, eternal life full in its full enjoyment. We will know much of it at death, but then in its full enjoyment on that great day, such glory, such happiness, and such holiness we shall know. There's the crowns then. We think of the excellencies of eternal happiness and joy. What a crown of glory that will be. No sin will mar, no sorrow will interrupt, no low faults will come down on your mind, no anxiety will disturb the peace. What a crown. What a crown of glory awaits, which the shepherd will give. Now we read here, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, they cast their crowns. They put them down before him. Now again, we see here the worshippers showing great respect. But consider further in particular, in these words, casting their crowns before the throne, here's the people of God saying, we're not worthy of such a crown. Thou art worthy alone. We're not worthy to receive such life. We're not worthy to receive such glory and happiness and joy. We will be so happy. We will be so at peace. We will be so amazed in perfection. But we'll cast our crowns. We're not worthy of this joy. We're not worthy of this perfection. We're not worthy of life and the blessings of it. We'll cast the crown. Lord, it's all because of thee. We're knowing the bliss and the joy and the perfection. The perfection of our soul at death and the perfection of our reunited body at that great day. We'll cast our crown. We are not worthy. Thou art worthy. But further, in casting the crown here symbolically is a recognition it was because of Jesus and what he did here upon earth, particularly his death upon the cross. Come with me again to verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. We'll cast our crowns. We don't deserve them. And Lord, it's all because of thee and thy precious blood that was shed at Calvary. Listen to Reverend John Brown of Hannington. They undervalue themselves, that is, in casting their crowns down. They undervalue themselves and all that they have in comparison of him, and ascribe their whole existence, holiness and happiness to Christ and to God in him. The casting of the crowns. We're not worthy of these blessings. And it's all because of thee. And thirdly, we want thee to have the glory. We will not take time so much at looking at the crown, eternal life and glory, as looking at Jesus. He has the glory. We're looking forward, are we not, to heaven, to joy, no more tears, no sorrow or upset, no low thoughts. But are we not most of all looking forward to heaven, to seeing Jesus and giving him the glory? In the eternal world, when heaven and earth will be one, we'll be so thankful for our resurrected body and the delights and the sights we will see. But what is that compared to Jesus? We will cast our crown and we will keep doing it. Lord, we are so thankful for what we have. We're so thankful for the joy and the bliss but it's all because of thee. We cast our crown before him. Worthy thou art, O Lord, and worthy is the Lamb. We'll be so thankful for what we have, but most of all, we'll honour the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. When we look to the future, what glory will be given to him when we cast our crowns down before him. Thou art worthy. He's worthy now. We don't have to wait till then, do we? We recognise grace now. We recognise all that we have in the future is because of him. And we say, worthy thou art. Thou art worthy, O Lord. And worthy is the Lamb that was slain. At the end of this year, he is worthy, and he's worthy to be praised in the morning, and he's worthy to be praised on Friday, and he's worthy to be praised next Sabbath, and he'll be worthy to be praised when we come around the table on the Lord's evening. Thou art worthy. And if we don't think it now, we won't think it then, unless the Lord intervenes. Well, as this year draws to a close, do not we join in with the host in heaven. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And finally, verse 12 of the following chapter. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. The Lord Jesus, will be the focus of heaven. You will know when you're home because you'll see him, and you'll see so many worshipping him. He is the focus of heaven. He is the focus of the heavenly world. Let him be the focus of this church and every faithful congregation in the new year. Sir, we would see no man save Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, thou art worthy. We don't need to wait to heaven to say that. We say it now. And as we look back over this past year through all the experiences, times of joy, times of sorrow, we would say to thee tonight, thou art worthy. And as we look to the future and the new year, Lord, times of sorrow there may be and times of joy, we will say, tonight, at the threshold, thou art worthy. And Lord, as we think of heaven and the heavenly world, it will be taken up with praise unto thee. Lord, make this place in the new year even more like heaven on earth. Help us to so view Jesus more and more as individuals and collectively. May we be aware of thee in an ever-increasing way as the new year unfolds. Oh, may we be aware of the Lamb that was slain. For those of us who come around the table next Lord's evening, may it be such a precious occasion, the first one of the new year, thinking in that way of what Jesus did for us all those years ago. Help us, O Lord, and we thank thee in light of thy word that the glory of Jesus will fill this whole earth. As we are about to sing and pray for it, we know that our prayer will be answered. Lord, let the gospel of our Saviour spread in these isles and around the world more and more. Open the eyes of many Jews, Lord. May it be that next year is the year when many come to look unto Jesus. And what will that be to the world? Oh, hear us. We give thee thanks. We thank thee for loving us throughout another year. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to our final psalm, Psalm 72, verses 17 to 19. And the tune is Effingham. His name forever shall endure, last like the sun it shall. Men shall be blessed in him and blessed, all nations shall him call. And as you sing these words, be thankful. If you're a believer, because you've been blessed in him. If you're not a believer, my prayer is that you would yet end this year being blessed by Jesus. Psalm 72, verses 17 to 19, the tune is Effingham, his name forever shall endure.
His name forever.
Give thee peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.